live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God Almighty has decided you and I and Jason and everyone else will live. His choice. Now cards are in our hands, as a friend said to me recently. What do we do? Just some programming notes, since I mentioned this is the last hour I'll do as a KTTH host. My friend Victoria Taft will host Thursday and Friday. Fantastic talk show host in her own right. I cannot wait to find out what KTTH has next. This is an important radio station, and I ask you, in fact, I demand that you keep supporting this radio station. And dang it, this is the last time I'm going to click this button.
Shining a spotlight on the news you won't hear anywhere else.
Jason Rance.
This story, it's not going to be on CNN. It's not going to be on MSNBC.
The Rance Report on the Todd Herman Show.
May not be perfect, but it's still the best government we have. For now.
Joining us now on this this day on the Todd Herman Show is my friend and colleague Jason Rance. Before we talk old times and victories and what we've accomplished together as a radio station, I want to start with the Rance Report. Welcome back, Jason.
Hey, is today your last show? That was today?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you've heard the promos and such that are running, or maybe the interview on your show last day. Yes.
Oh, yes. My bad. I'm honored to be here on your last hour.
Thank you. I don't know if you ever remember this. There was this great, I loved this so much. Chevy Chase was on David Letterman's show. You might be too young to remember. Did you know David Letterman was a comedian once?
Shut up. Stop it. Yeah. I know it's your last show. You're trying to confuse and trick me. It's not going to work.
Yeah. So Letterman had Chevy Chase on, and he sits down. He says, so you were a part of the Second City Players, Saturday Night Live. You had the Fletch movies, the Vacation movies, National Lampoon. You got the country music writer, all this. You know, what's it like to be Chevy Chase? And Chevy paused for a second, looked at Dave, and he goes, I'm sorry, Dave, I wasn't listening. What was that? So you could give me a sympathy laugh on that, Rance.
Come again?
Let's start with you gave me a sympathy laugh just there. That was sympathy laugh.
No, I was doing that was a not paying attention thing. I did it. Was meta.
Okay.
It was a joke within a joke within a joke.
Okay, I got it. Let's start with some Rance Report stuff. Of all the sort of clownish white people, you know, virtue signaling stuff, you had Captain Ponytail who sent out the note to calling all cops Nazis. He was an IT goof, and he sent out a note from the Seattle City, you know, employee saying all cops are Nazis, murderers, etc. So Captain Ponytail, how does he compare against these two school board members who don't want the blacks speaking back to them because the whites are running the equity program? How do they compare?
It really is fascinating. I love this story. Two Seattle public school board directors, Chandra Hampson and Zachary DeWolf, who maybe people will recognize those names. Those are the two board members who said, you are not going to sweep homeless encampments from school grounds, even though one of the encampments has someone who's a sex offender living there. You will not be sweeping them. So they were found guilty of violating this HIB policy, harassment, intimidation, and bullying, against two black staff members who were, I guess, taking over too much control over an anti-racist policy that Hampson and DeWolf wanted to get control over because it was kind of their idea. It was just fascinating because I spent a lot of time reading this report. This investigation was like 40-something pages. And, oh my gosh, do they come off poorly. In fact, I think actually everyone kind of comes off poorly. They clearly were being bullied and harassed. They were being demeaned. They didn't have any evidence to suggest it was because they were black or because they were female, but it very clearly was harassment and bullying and intimidation.
So isn't it, though, and I know that none of this is making is to make sense. I understand that the confusion is a feature, not a bug. But look, you've interviewed these people. Are they that blissfully unaware of the fact that by their own theory, when the black people speak, the white people are to stop speaking and do as they're told. Do they not get that?
In fairness, even though looking at them you would say that they are white, they are Native American.
Oh, and okay. Well, so there you go.
But I believe that's why this story is not getting that much attention outside of KTTH. And in fairness to the Times, they did do a little bit of a report on this. This is intersectionality, right? That if you've got two minority groups, well, they're both aggrieved. They both are dealing with a systemically racist society, blah, 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 blah. So what do you do when, you know, someone who is a minority group member going after someone else who's a minority group, you just pretend it doesn't exist? Because the only people who can be racist are white people, because white people have power, even though in this case, we're talking about two people who are Native American who have a heck of a lot of power as school board members.
Look, this is easily solvable. Someone needs to come out and say, I'm a different gender. That thing, then, boom, you climbed atop the pyramid. Mm-hmm. Now
it's even more messy.
Now, baby, it's over. I know this is an older story, but I'm endlessly fascinated. Jason, how do you compare these two people? And at least they have the defense of, hey, we're Native Americans, apparently. How do you compare that against this Captain Ponytail guy? I've asked you his name
Daniel Holmberg. 10 times.
Holmberg. And he still works for the city. He sent an email calling every single person who is a cop Nazis. And how do you compare him to everyone else you've studied, this Holmberg guy?
Let's just read one quote from this email, because I just pulled it up, and it's, oh my gosh. When the arbiters of justice serve the false gods of white supremacy, they are not worthy of the power they wield. If police protection and restraint extend only to white people, they are no longer guardians. They are mercenaries and zealots paid in the wages of white privilege, inflicting their wicked commandments upon us. He's very clearly crazier. Because, you know, look, I get that a politician and school board members are politicians. I get what they're trying to do and why they try to do it. This is just some white dude who is desperate to make friends with black and brown people and thinks that writing these kinds of emails is going to do it. Whereas everyone's looking at him like, gosh, you are just so condescending, and it's just really, you're insufferable. Please stop staring at me. I don't want to be your friend. That's what this kind of person comes off as. I don't think he's doing it for the right reasons. I think he's doing it because he wants people to pat him on the back and say, you're a hero.
I've found that a ponytail slicked back and tech bro glasses, that'll bring black people around every time. So I think he's trying too hard because he's got the other things.
Yeah.
Let me also get to this, ktth.com. So teachers in a classroom, you have become the guy for getting the kids bringing you footage, or however you got this footage. I don't know how you got this particular footage.
A parent.
Okay, so this teacher decided to issue a monologue about the Kyle Rittenhouse case. And I had misunderstood that entire case, Jason, because, you know, I was very busy planning the transition, etc. Apparently, Rittenhouse shot three black men and killed them all, or something.
Yeah, obviously, Kyle Rittenhouse is a racist. He's a white supremacist who in no way was acting legally when he defended himself. When he decided to proactively just randomly shoot people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this teacher's name is Kevin McDonald. He is a physics teacher at Bothell High School. And as, you know, I played last night on the show, I know you played the clip as well. It's all available at ktth.com. He decided to take some time out of his physics class to go on a vulgar rant about how this case shows how cops are racist, and that they let Kyle Rittenhouse go free, and if Kyle was black, they would have shot him, I guess. Even though, by the way, I know that there's a video that shows him being sort of allowed to leave. But I guess this teacher didn't watch any of the actual trial because he was pepper sprayed at one point. He was ordered out of the street. They had no clue he was a suspect because they thought there was an active mass shooting at the time. So they didn't realize that he was it. But Jason, he had a gun. Yeah, lots of people had guns at that point. First of all, it's open carry. But as the cop said on the stand, it was like this was a war zone. It was not weird to us that he had a weapon, and we've never seen someone who is a potential suspect walking towards us with his hands up, giving himself up in this kind of way. So that's all it was. It was a little bit of the sort of fog of war effect.
So, but then a student tried to speak back, right, in this classroom, and the teacher said, okay, I'd like to hear your point of view. This is where you learn how to think, not what to think.
Oh, exactly. Except, of course, that's not actually what happened. He said, no, put your hand down. It's my turn. As if he's supposed to get a turn as to telling us what he thinks in a classroom. No one cares what this teacher thinks about anything other than the subject matter. And the whole goal is supposed to be able to teach us science. They were talking about magnets. And he decided to go into this.
No, they weren't talking about magnets.
That's what, really? that was what they were supposed to be talking about, because at the end of the clip he goes, okay, what were we got off on a tangent. Let's get back. What are we talking about? Magnus. Okay, let's
Magnus. Oh my goodness. All right, we'll continue with Jason Rantz after we check traffic at the Right Way Traffic. So Jason Rantz is with me. This is the last time we'll do this together in KTTH, and the radio station has been extraordinarily kind and generous in allowing me to have this extended goodbye with you, and to even mention what I'm going to be doing next. And I am studying and thinking of becoming a pastor, and I am going to pursue some sort of work in the ministry. I don't know what that will be. I don't know that that will be a staff pastor. I am going to podcast because I have to, and if I don't, my head will blow up. And Jason was kind enough to have me on his program last night, and we visited about this. I wanted to turn the tables a bit on you, Jason, and ask you a question about your program. And I've never asked you this before. When did you know that you wanted to be a talk radio host, and when was the first time? Do you remember, like, doing a show and saying, that's it. That's the Jason Rantz show. That's the show I want to hear. This is the show I want to do. So I know that's a two-part question, but how did that happen?
Oh, I remember wanting to get into radio when I was a kid, and I was in the car with my parents, and they were driving me to school, and I always had radio on in the background. And it was Jay Thomas in Los Angeles doing
Jay
a morning
Thomas.
Show. And it became something of, you know, an inspiration to me. And I don't even remember anything about the show. I just remember enjoying it. And I remember, you know, my dad was working out of his car because he was going from client to client at one point, and I spent the day with him any time that I had school off. And the radio was always on in the background. And it just became a part of my life. At night, I would listen to Loveline before going to bed and listen to Adam Carolla,
yes.
who's a huge influence in my radio career. And since then, I just always wanted to do it. And I remember, and this, oh my gosh, I hope this tape never exists. It was a literal cassette tape that I recorded a monologue into. I was laying on my bed and I recorded some monologue. Again, don't remember the topic. I sent it in to a radio station in Los Angeles to a producer, and they never got back to me. And believe me, I don't blame them. I was 14, 15 years old at the time. And it was just, I just loved it then, and I sort of worked my way up to where I am.
When was the first time doing radio that you said, that's it? This is what Jason Rantz's show should be. And I know that it evolves. I mean, we always grow or we die. But can you remember a time where you did a show and you stepped back and said, that's it? That's the one.
The first time I did a solo show was in San Diego. I was doing some co-hosted work in Los Angeles just to, you know, get some reps behind a microphone. And I did some fill-in work in San Diego. I lived in L.A. at the time, and it was all solo. And after the first segment of the first show, I said, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to feel.
Right.
And since then, it was always kind of snarky, but it's certainly gotten snarkier since.
When did you develop your zeal? Because I do think it's a zeal. For interviewing, I regard you and Dory at the top of the interview game. I am not a good interviewer, and I think it's because I'm such an advocate for my points of view that maybe that hinders me a little bit. But you ask really good questions in interviews and are very curious about your subjects, and you succeed in bringing on people who are in the opposition. So how did you develop that? And do you think of that as one of your strengths as a talk show host and being an interviewer?
I guess. I don't know. I don't really think this is weird for people to say. Here's my strength. I think everything I do is amazing. But pushing that aside, I don't really go back and say, well, this is what I do really, really well. I just kind of do it. I think part of the reason why my interviews work the way that they do is I generally don't interrupt people who are at least acting in good faith in answering a question. I believe strongly that the left-wing inclination to just have an echo chamber is really, really bad, that you don't learn anything about your own position or the opposition, and I think that that's wrong. So whenever someone who I disagree with comes on, I legitimately want to hear their reasons. I do have to stop myself from jumping in from time to time, but I try to make a good faith effort of having a discussion or debate with an individual, and I think it works best if you don't from the start just cut them off and try to argue. I'll argue, but I want to hear what you actually have to say.
No, I think that's right. And as we look back on our time together, it's been, you know, the journey for KTTH and the growth, you on Fox News, you know, I had the run filling in for the Maha, God rest Rush. That I don't think that's ever happened in a Pacific Northwest. Well, no, that's not true. But in a Seattle-based talk station, that sort of national exposure. And I think we did a good job of bragging about that.
We should totally brag about that. KTTH is a national radio station because of us. We did that.
Right.
We didn't get paid extra for doing that, but we did that.
We did that. That's right. What do you look back on in terms of the victories? You know, we talked about this a little bit on your show, but you asked me and I shared some things. And I in the 6 a.m. hour, I went through some things that I will claim as victories. You and I getting kids out of the government schools together. That's a victory for both of us and for the kids. What do you look at in terms of your show having an impact and delivering a victory?
I think I view a lot of what I do and really what you do in KTTH does is just shining a spotlight on things that no one else is shining a spotlight on. And that's what ends up bringing about change. I don't particularly point to, I got this law passed, because that's not actually what I do. It's an end result of what I do. Indirectly, but you know, I look back at what happened at Chop or Chaz. That was not being portrayed honestly in the media.
Yes.
And I went down there and then I started to talk about it on this show. Obviously, on the Tucker Carlson show, I was doing almost daily hits from there and I was telling people what was actually happening. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get it taken down and dismantled in time to save the lives of two children who were murdered there. But it would not have gotten any attention beyond it being this block party atmosphere had it not been for the work that we both did in our respective positions. And, you know, that's something that I think is really important. I look back at some of the, you know, police staffing situation stories. Yeah. I mean, I was on that story, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and I was told over and over and over again, you're lying, you're wrong, you're making this up. And
yeah.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. I've got really good sources, and it's obviously come to fruition. We've been warning it about it for a while. I think more about what we do in the future, what you do on your podcast, what I continue to do here or on Fox, which is we have a track record of getting stuff right and telling you what's going to happen if you don't course correct. And, you know, choices were made not to course correct. And unfortunately, we've been right on so many things. And that just means the next time there's that huge issue, we will be listened to. And that will, you know, get faster results.
Yeah. And, you know, the podcast I'm going to do is going to have God at the center. And I don't know how that would work in commercial radio. This station's been so kind to even let me mention that in the URL, and I'm not going to abuse that. I would tell you this, Jason. I'm endlessly thankful as a parent. And I in the monologue at 6 a.m., I shared, you know, this, and you know some personal details other people don't and won't, because I was able to cry on your shoulder, which I appreciate. I knew I was going to cry about what we were facing as a family. I'm endlessly thankful that we got to air hear the reality of what's being done to children's minds. And I've had countless parents come to me and say, I had no idea. I truly believe that KTTH and the coverage we provided on the sex ed stuff, I believe that has taken kids out of schools and out of risk. And I also believe it is bringing about a revolution of the humble. And dang it, that's big. When the humble begin to show up like they did in Virginia, that revolution occurs. It's becoming impossible for these people to hide who they are.
Yeah.
That never would have happened. And that's a Bonneville principle that you know, lifting families and communities and shining lights, as you expressed it, on things that would otherwise be hidden. I'm very grateful that we got to do that. Even as a host, Jason, I never thought I would speak the words I spoke, but it was in the curriculum and that we got to do that together. And On a pre-personal note, thank you for letting me cry on your shoulder when things fell apart as family. Thank you.
It was very awkward for me. of course, we will always be here for you. And that was always part of not just the job, but it was part of the friendship that we have developed over the years.
Yeah. Well, I'll miss this.
You got me. Dang it. I made myself cry. So we'll get back with text messages. The big rants aganza, 3 to 6 p.m. KTTH. Can't wait to see what comes Monday. Victoria Taft, next 2 days. Good friend of mine. Great talk show host. Jason, as always, go with God's good grace.
Thank you so much. Best of luck. You know I'll be listening.
All right. Let's check traffic.
Still seeing on.
I'm going to mention
it's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
This show's always been about keeping a promise to you. And the promise has been that I will tell you the truth as I see it and never pander and never give in to thinking, oh, you're a big deal because you got a radio show. That is such a trap. People fall into that trap and they just change. And we've kept that promise. Like, and that's God's grace. Never fell into the, oh, I've got a great big radio show. That's God's grace. It's not mine. It's always been about you. We've had listeners support us in so many ways. Our friend Garrett Lloyd King, do me a favor, Brady, get the link I sent you to this. Put it in the text line. Our friend Garrett Lloyd King, been with us from the very, very first day of the program, is a musician, and he created a little parody tune of the Dictator of Washington State back when I called him Sleepy J before President Trump sold that for Joe Biden.
Oh, it would be just a dream to have a job where you could sleep. Till 10 o'clock and often as late as 4. Your handlers call your name and tell you what to say. Wipe the sleepy from your eyes, the camera's in your face.
You can text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770 and get a copy of that for yourself. Ensley used to publish his calendar until I started to read it on the air. Funny thing, they stopped doing that. To the notes we go from Kiersey. Dear Todd, thank you so much for the education and entertainment you provided me and all of us via your show at KTTH. I woke up every morning looking forward to your show. I'm sad to lose those morning times with you while I commute to work. I'll continue to listen to your podcast. I wish you all the best in your new endeavors, and God bless you and what you stand for. Thank you, Kiersey. It's a cool name. My name's a sound. It's not really a name. It's just a sound. It's an utterance. So I admire beautiful names like that. Richard, I found your page after a bit. I hope you're thinking about setting up Gitter on Gab. I won't support Facebook. You might want to look into Freedom Square, a new site for conservatives. Rumble is growing and getting better. Your old acquaintance, John Solomon, supports a podcast he's carrying, VDH podcast plus his own. Speaking of mocking the left, I hope you'll do some parades. I miss the Rush parades. No one has come close to them. I think the F-150 guy needs to make a comeback. Oh, speaking of that, I'm glad you brought this up. But he says, I don't agree with your pastor. Jesus had no problem putting scumbags in their place. Like the Republicans, if the church doesn't get into the fight, we will lose. I agree. Church is getting into the fight. But you brought up, I forgot this. This show killed one of the most pandering mRNA injection pimping ads that's ever existed. And because I got to fill in for Rush, God bless him, because of you and this radio station, I got to make fun of that ad on a nationwide basis. When I'm driving around, you know, when I'm out driving around in my F-175 after I spend the day shooting my AR-17 and a half, I ask myself, what can I do for the people around me? And that's when I remember Pfizer loves me and they love my cattle. They stopped running that ad after 1 week of me destroying it on Rush's show. Marlene, sad to say, but I'll truly miss you. You meant surely well. Said the harshest truth.
but you have a very sincere open heart for all your listeners and all sides. Compared to Michael Savage, you never boasted highly of yourself while dominating the airwaves, but rather spoke with open tolerance while standing your ground. You were Seattle's Rush Limbaugh. Wow. At the hardest times, as the city was falling away, I'm pretty sure most of the left got your message, and may God reward you for reaching it. I've learned a lot from talk radio, much more than NPR in college. I'll miss your many personal thought stories where you triumphed and kept moving forward in perseverance. You've made a tough but true calling from God and the Holy Spirit in becoming a pastor, and many times in our life we have to abandon it all for the sake of the call. I do pray the Lord will you continue to speak the word and persevere his truth, and more important, use the platform in making God, America, godly again. The church is our temple of growth, fellowship, worship. It's not a foxhole. When Jesus said, go into the world and preach, he did not mean outside your country, but outside the house of God. God should always be number one in our source for family, workforce, entertainment, cities, and should always be included in politics. Thank you for not being ashamed of sharing God's truth. With love, Marlena from Centralia, Washington. Thank you, Marlena. I appreciate you. Marlene, pardon me, Centralia. Incidentally, Marlene, it doesn't need to be goodbye. Continue to support this radio station, but know that you can also catch me on the new podcast beginning tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Laura, hey, Todd, blessing to you on your new adventure in living as guided by God. He leads us where we need to be. I used to say, okay, God, you have plan A for me, but I have plan B through Z backup. The Lord laughed at me. You will be missed. Grandma in Pierce County. Thank you, Grandma. So many texts from you. So many. Speaking of texts, these are all emails on the text line. Last time I will do this. This is beginning to hit me, you guys. Some regulars. The Northwest Viking. Todd, thanks so much for everything. I'm going to miss your show during the radio weekday every morning. God bless and Godspeed. The Northwest Viking. John, 1427. Hope you'll check out the podcast even as you continue to support this radio station, Northwest Viking. Just Bob. Todd, sure going to miss the KTTH show. You provided us with information and entertainment from the beginning through the halcyon days of Durka and beyond, standing your ground with a Rush-like, at times lampooning perspective on PNW issues. We thank you for it. Carry on with the battle, Bob. Thank you so much. Doesn't need to be goodbye, just so long. Casey from Auburn. Hey, Todd, this isn't goodbye. Somber note nonetheless. Thank you for everything. I said it once last week. I'll say it again. Thank you for every personal note and piece of advice you've sent through my speakers. Be well, be strong, and never stop being so kind and loving to everyone. Thank you so much for that, Casey. JP, hey, Todd, super happy for you and all the success you've worked so hard for and that God has blessed you with. As a talk radio junkie, you've been one of my go-to guys for years. I look forward to following the podcast. Thankful for KTTH's support of you over the years, the support they gave you to be who you are without asking you to bite your tongue. It seems you've only gotten bolder as the world has gotten more clamped down and authoritarian. We need more of that. Thank you for encouraging truth in dark times. From one follower of Christ to another, I'm thankful for you, brother. Keep going. Keep pursuing the calling and the mission that God has chosen for you. I'm excited to keep listening. May God bless you and your family. Thank you. P.S. The podcast bumpers better be solid. You can't see, that's the thing. I'll explain it on the podcast. That's the thing about bumpers. I gotta explain that. I'll explain it on the podcast. There's so many here, guys. I can't get through all of them. I'm just so unbelievably touched that you sent all these. And that you took the time to write today, and you always have. One last note. Hi, Todd. I hope you not forget all of us who took your hints years ago and left Washington for Idaho, which also means for me my personal identity. I attended the lunch you had at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Hope you continue those events for your local listeners. I did not hear your show when you said the web address the one time allowed. It wasn't just one time. Jason said it three times. It's the ToddHermanShow.com. So I would try to hunt it down for you. I have never listened to a podcast, but it appears that will be changing. Robert Bob Shea, Post Falls, VFW, Senior Vice Commander, Post Falls, American Legion, First Vice Commander. The above is to say, become very involved locally and hope you will also. Of course I will. There's so many more. I will try my very, very best to respond to these in the next few days. Okay. The last personal note on KTTH next. After you check traffic.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
Well, here it is on a personal note. I was in my late, mid to late 40s when I couldn't deny the desire anymore. You see, I had been partially retired and living the life of a PayPal checker, basically. What's come in? What's the digital revenue today? And yet in my gut, I always had the sweet dream of doing talk radio in this city and from the building from which this signal emanates. That is the building on East Lake, 1820 to be precise. Because it's from that building that I heard the signals that carried to my ears Jim French and much later Dory Monson. And at some time, my friend Dave Bowes and the Michael Medved show. And when the opportunity came that I saw that they were, actually my friend Chris saw that they were seeking a fill-in or seeking a new host, and we applied, and here we are. And I'm now in my mid-50s. The fact is, you may have somewhere in your gut a burning. You may have an ember and you can't put it out. And maybe the life circumstances are such that you have not been able to pursue that burning. And our primary responsibility is to serve God and our families and to be servants to one another, serve one another. And if that burning is still there, let me ask you a question. What is God doing around you? What's the work he's doing? He's allowing things to fall apart here in America. God is. He has allowed a man who is not mentally there to inhabit the White House. He's also bringing humble people to school boards demanding change. At the same time, other things are going on all around us. God's work. There are families now homeschooling because they've seen. They've seen what's happened. I don't know how old you are. I know that God has work going on around you. What is it? Is it the enlightening of families? Is it the feeding of one another? Is it an opportunity to serve the servicemen and women who have risked their lives for us time and again, who are having their jobs stolen from them? That's God's work too. He's allowing it. What is God's work around you? How do you fit in? This is the time God's chosen for us to live. When I took the opportunity to come to the building, starting as a fill-in, first with Chris and then solo, everything began to lock into place until this. I got afraid. I didn't talk about what we were discovering in the adolescent mental health world, even though my daughter had come on the show and shared her struggle. Pretty amazing thing she did. I became afraid. So I didn't speak about it the way I should have. Until I read Job, and for those unfamiliar with the Bible, this is where Satan was allowed to take everything from a righteous man named Job. Allowed to take it because Satan had said, oh, he'll turn against you now. Well, Job never did. And then Job had everything replaced and then some by God Almighty. And I became aware of this. I didn't know what was going on in the spiritual background. And my friends, when I realized that, I began to speak out. The show got better. Things began to change. And I got a phone call. can we get you back on Rush's show? I had escaped over to the Candy Mike and Todd extravaganza. Can we get you back in for Rush? He's ill. He's ill? I'm so thankful that I was not named a replacement for Rush. Because the whispering in my ear now, the burning, the ember I can't put out, is, do you know that it's only in the last year that I thanked God for the gift he gave me of speech? Do you know that? To direct it at building the kingdom, because I love you and my family. And the way out of this is the way towards God. What's the ember that you can't put out? What's the nagging? What's the talent that is harbored in you? And how does it fit into God's plan? And how do you animate it today? Even in the tiniest of starts, how do you animate it today? This is your life right now. These are the times through which God has decided we shall live. This is the last Todd Herman show here, but I'll be on podcast tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you, KTTH. Thank you, Boss Lady Kathy. Thank you, Jason. Thank you to all my friends. And most of all, thank you to you, this family. Go be well, be strong, be kind, and go be right with God.